The Rink Rats Show on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
Here's Kane now, juking his way to the right, left corner. Should he score? It's in! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
The Rink Rats Show with Ballpark Frank Harnish.
2015 Stanley Cup champions are the Chicago Blackhawks.
And Ryan the Hockey Guy.
It's him! This young man has had a very trying rookie season. What with the litigation, the notoriety, his subsequent deportation to Canada, and that country's refusal to accept him, well, I guess that's more than most 21-year-olds could handle.
There's no script to it at all. We don't know what's going to happen. They're going to drop a puck, and whatever it is, it'll be fun.
Everybody is just on their feet screaming, kill, kill, kill! This is hockey!
Here's the Rink Rat Show on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
And welcome in. It is Thursday afternoon. That means it's time for the Rink Rat Show, NBC Sports 920 The Game. And, of course, you can check out the show along with all the other podcasts we've done on LVSportsNetwork.com. Ballpark Frank, Ryan the Hockey Guy. Lots to get to today, including a special guest towards the end of the show more. Assistant GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, Kellen McCrimmon, going to join us.
What?
And, yeah, looking forward
no
to that.
Way.
Yeah, so also, right off the bat, want to let people know, you had a chance to do a nice interview early this week.
I did, yeah.
Which we will not awesome. Have time to play on the show today. However, if people want to check it out, they can go to LVSportsNetwork.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I got the opportunity to interview the current general manager of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Grant Armstrong. Grant is the GM currently for the Wheat Kings, and he is important because one of his players is Reed Duke. Reed Duke, the first ever player transaction for the Vegas Golden Knights. So when we have Kelly McCrimmon on later today, we're going to be talking to him about Reed Duke, what kind of player he is, where we can maybe expect to see him in the lineup. So it'll be a very fun interview. I'm excited for it. But the Grant Armstrong interview is on LVSportsNetwork.com. Just go to the NHL tab or the hockey tab, and it is also on iTunes as part of the Rink Rats.
All right, so we have all that to get to. I do apologize. You might have heard a little background noise there for one reason, whatever reason. This wonderful computer here decided to go right into the next stop set instead of going with the wait command, so I'm going to see if that's going to work this time around. I will not even get into what I think of this system that we have here.
No, you're not mad, are you?
I have hated this system since before we introduced it, and that has not changed whatsoever. And it just did it again.
But at least
I'm
going
to have to put it on a manual command here because it's just not working.
Well, that's exciting.
What a surprise. This piece of crap doesn't work. What a surprise. Anyhow, enough of the anger.
Frank is in a really good mood today,
guys. For now.
The energy in here is palpable.
Oh, yeah. Lots of things going on here. Let's turn it over to a feel-good story. Maybe get rid of some of my anger.
I think you need this more than the girl in Calgary needed this.
I don't know about that. But if you did not see this story, it's a very cool thing. And this is one of the things where I think the Vegas community, as much as they're probably excited about Vegas getting hockey,
mm-hmm. yep.
the fact of how when the NHL comes to town, they encompass the entire community probably more so than any other sport I know of. And I know NASCAR's in town this week, and mm-hmm. they yep. come into the community. And other sports do things, certainly football teams, baseball teams, they all do some. But hockey just seems to go to the next level with it.
I'll say it flat out. They do it better than any other sport, period, end of story. They do it better than the NBA. They do it better than the NFL. They do it better than any other sport as far as being in the community and doing things for people that are less fortunate and that need it.
All right. So up in Calgary recently,
mm-hmm.
young 11-year-old Olivia Ledich is partially blind. Actually, she's legally blind. She can't see at all in one eye and very, very sketchy in the other eye. But she has been a Calgary Flames fan for her entire life.
Bless her heart.
Especially Johnny Gaudreau. That's her favorite player. So recently, the Flames heard about young Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
And they got together with a new thing called eSight, which basically looks like those goggles that you're seeing on the TV commercials and that, where you can experience all sorts of stuff. What eSight does is it actually gives people who have partial vision but very, very poor vision, it cleans everything up and allows them to see things.
Really?
So the Calgary Flames invited her to a game against the New York Islanders, gave her this headset for the eSight.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the locker room, and all the guys are taking pictures and talking to her and that, giving her autographs, giving her jerseys. It's actually kind of funny. In an interview, they asked what the players were like, and she said, boy, they sure like to take pictures.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're young guys. It's a young team. Yeah. Calgary's a very young team, so it kind of makes sense that they are all about the selfie.
So they're taking selfies with her and that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they let her sit on the bench while they're warming up before the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
So not just the great seats she had during the game, and then during the national anthem, the guy singing the anthem takes her by the hand, walks her out on the ice, and she's standing beside him,
mm-hmm.
watching all the players standing there, watching the crowd right down on the ice doing the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
She said it was without a doubt the greatest day of her life. Her mom was obviously in tears watching it all as well.
Right.
And when they asked what the best part of the game was, now I would think it would be like being on the ice, meeting the players and that.
Mm-hmm.
She actually said the best part was getting to sit there and watch the guys warming up. And if you watch the video of it, when they're all warming up, they're all making sure they're hot-dogging a little bit more than normal.
Oh, of course.
They're all
yeah.
throwing the puck up and bouncing it off their sticks
sure.
and doing the different things and that. And she's just taking it all in with the biggest smile on her face. Like, just her head looks like she's watching a tennis match or something, trying to take in all the action. Just an absolutely exciting day for her, but also a great day for the Calgary Flames. But this is the kind of things that the NHL and their teams do. But young 11-year-old Olivia Letich gets to go on the ice, stand next to the national anthem, meets all the players, wearing her Calgary Flames jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the best part was actually watching them warm up. But then they asked her, well, what were you the most nervous about, meeting the players or during the national anthem or what? And she was like, I don't know. I was nervous during all of it.
Yeah. Well, it's really cool because, again, this is just what hockey players do. You have to take into account that most of these guys are from Midwestern towns or from up in Canada, and they grow up playing this game not because they want to be rich and famous, but just simply because they love this game. And for those of you that have never played hockey, there's a huge time commitment that's involved with playing this sport as a youth. My parents woke up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., oftentimes after working grueling schedules during the week, just to travel with me to get to games. You don't lose sight of that as you grow up, and you recognize all the sacrifices that everyone else had to make for you in order to play this game that you love. So hockey players give back to the community more than any other professional athlete I've ever come across, and this is what Vegas has to look forward to, teaming up with technology to allow people that can't see the ability to come to a game and see everything. I mean, just imagine, for this girl, the guy that eventually woos her in her life, the guy that eventually, you know, is going to become her husband, he's going to have to live up to that memory. There's no way he's going to do that. Like, her wedding day is always going to be the second happiest day of her life.
Probably.
Until she has kids.
Probably.
And then the wedding day is just going to keep getting pushed back and pushed back, but it's going to be the day I got to see the Calgary Flames for the first time, and then my kids, and then my wedding day. That's amazing. It's awesome.
Right, and again, very cool, feel-good story there. We got a lot of stuff to go over. On our last podcast, we were talking about some rule changes.
Yeah, well, I feel like we were talking about it, but it was mainly just a session to complain about all the things that the NHL does wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know about that. And again, now, this was on an article on ESPN.
Sure, yeah.
So it's not even official that these are some of the rule changes they're going to look at. These are some that they said that they think might be proposed or whatever.
Right.
Because I've been Googling and trying to search ever since we did that podcast, and there is not an official list of what the GMs and that are going to be looking at this year in the offseason.
Right.
These are some things that they proposed that they thought they might look at.
Sure.
For instance, making the net bigger, which we hear about all the time. But one thing that does seem like a rule change that GMs are definitely looking at,
mm-hmm.
is, remember when you're icing a puck during a penalty kill?
Sure.
It's not icing.
Right.
There is some talk of maybe actually making that icing, which I think is just absolutely stupid, and I don't think that would have a chance of passing.
That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But remember back years ago, you could actually ice the puck, and then you could line change after the icing.
Right.
Well, they took that out, mm-hmm. because they thought, we'll add a little bit more offense into the team, into the league.
That will increase scoring.
And it'll increase scoring.
What a joke.
But then some coaches have gone, well, wait, we have a way to get rid of that and make that not so difficult on our penalty killers. We'll use our timeout during it. Now, obviously, you only got one timeout a game, so you got to make sure that you're using it at a good time when the players are really tired at a crucial time of the game. When you're down 4 or 5 to 1, you're not going to do it, you know, if you're up. But if it's a third period and you're in a tie game or something, you might do it at that point. Well, according to this article, basically all 31 GMs are on board that they need to get away with that. You can't use the timeout anymore after icing a puck on a penalty kill. Now, they're not sure if the Players Association and some other people are going to go, wait a second, if a guy's legitimately hurt or something, or there's somebody tired, this could lead to more injuries. So, no, this is something that, we need to still implement and have. So, I don't know if it's going to pass,
right,
but it does seem like this is one of the legitimate changes that they are looking at.
Well, here's what I have. Here's the thing that I have that I take issue with this is it's one play. It's one time in a game, and there's a number of factors there. So you might not do it until the last minute, 2 minutes of the game. If you ice the puck and you've got tired, you know, tired guys on the ice, then it makes sense to do it. But you only get one timeout, like you said, so it's not going to affect change that well. It's not going to do anything. It's not going to be this thing that's across the board going to increase scoring. And more to the point, most of these coaches rarely use their timeouts, and they have the coaches challenge. And if they lose the coaches challenge, then they won't even have a timeout anyway. I don't see how this is a big, like, I don't see how this is going to affect any part of the game whatsoever. Like, where is there going to be a specific instance where you could look to it and say, because they didn't call a timeout there was a goal scored? What does that happen? Maybe 4, 5, 10 times during the course of the year? Is it really that important?
Interesting that you should mention the coach's challenge, because as I'm watching NHL Network today, and as some of the other articles that I've been looking at as well, another rule that some GMs would like to take out is the coach's challenge on offsides. Well, just give it back to the refs, because what they've basically said is, look, we lose a timeout if we lose it, and sometimes we're still not sure if it was right. And then you're asking, okay, well, there's the video, and his skate is like, it's a half an inch off the ice. Is it still touching? Is it not? Their sentiment is that it's not working, so let's give it back to the linesman, let them call it, because the claim is that it's still not a perfect system, and it slows down the game with them looking at it so long.
And it takes away goals.
Yeah, and I have to be honest about it. I would not be adverse to getting rid of the coach's challenge and letting the linesman just call it again. It either is or isn't offsides. And I know there's sometimes when it's bad, and I know that they brought up a couple instances. Pittsburgh won a game years ago in the playoffs where a guy was clearly offside and they missed the call. Sure. But you know what? That's part of the human thing. But there are so many of them now, and there's so many that I see, and it's like they have to slow it down to stop motion, and then you're still looking and going, well, the puck is clearly over here, but his back skate's actually up, and then there's talk about, well, okay, even if the skate's not on the ice, it's still good. Well, then you're still going to have arguments. I'll tell you one thing, and I see this in football and other sports as well. Everybody always thought the instant replay would make everything completely black and white. There'd be no more gray anymore, and we would know exactly what happened. What the instant replay has shown to me in a lot of instances with the stop motion or the super slow-mo and this, that, and the other is that even when you have stop motion action, you still don't have 100% definitive results a lot of times.
Well, look, you can't pick and choose what things are against the rules and what things are reviewable. You can't do that. If you have a coach's challenge and you say that if there is a play that indeed is not within the parameters of the rules, being offsides is outside the parameters of the rules, you can't just wash that away. So if you want to take offsides out of the equation when it comes to the coach's challenge, get rid of offsides. Stop doing offside. Stop that then. Stop that then, because you're going to have goals that are upheld, that are allowed, that, given the rule book, should not be allowed. Period, end of story. You can't have that. You simply cannot have that. So the whole point of the coach's challenge was to get things right. So if you're just turning a blind eye to some rules because it doesn't affect scoring the way that you want it to, get rid of the rule then.
Get rid of offsides.
I agree with you, but I don't see that happening. And again, certainly
why?
That
because,
would
because,
increase.
Because the blue line's an arbitrary line on the playing surface? No, like, I don't get it.
I'm not saying I disagree with you.
No.
I agree with you. I just don't see them changing that. But if they are going to keep the offsides call, I would rather have it go back in the hands of the linesman and let them do it because it does slow down the game some. And one thing that we love about hockey is the nonstop fast-paced action. And it is incredibly frustrating when you're watching your team play, even in a game that if I don't have a dog in the fight and I'm just watching the game because I'm a hockey fan,
sure.
And I see something that it looks like, okay, well, this needs to be overturned or whatever. And they go, well, it's not 100%, so we're still going to keep it as called. Let me finish.
Okay.
We're going to keep it as called on the ice, even though you're probably right, but we're not 100% right. And then you lose that timeout, too, on top of it. To me, that's like penalizing somebody twice for the same thing. You were right, but we can't 100% confirm it, so we're going to go with what we have here, or we're going to go with... And I'll bring it up, and it's not the homer in me, because I think you know I'm a pretty honest guy. When the Hawks and Wild played a while back, there was an offside that clearly the Hawks challenged, and they were right on.
Sure.
I'm still convinced that if that play was in the United Center in Chicago, they overturn it, but because it's in Minnesota, they didn't. They let the fans influence them. They took so long to do it. They kept it the way it was. And Minnesota scored. Now, ironically enough, the Hawks actually came back and won that game. I actually thought that Minnesota would have been more PO'd if they would have not gotten the reversal, and they wouldn't have done it. But whatever, it played out, and the Hawks hadn't been winning that game. But at the time, you're watching it going, this is crazy. They're showing it over and over. Every announcer there, all three or four of them, they even went back to some other studio. They all said, yeah, it's clearly offside with the challenge. And then they don't do it, and then you lose the timeout on top of it, and then it's a tie game late in the third period, and you're going, well, we don't even have our timeout anymore. It either do it right and go by it and say this is a change, or just say, you know what, human error is part of the game. Deal with it.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all, because for every time they've gotten it wrong, there has been at least five instances every time where they've gotten it right, and they've corrected an error. They have corrected a play that was very clearly offsides and should not have been a goal within the parameters of the NHL rulebook. Do you want to lose a Stanley Cup because you can't challenge a play that's clearly offsides?
Do you want to lose a Stanley Cup because you lost your timeout during that and your players are dead tired and you don't have one to use at that point?
Do you want no? Answer the question. Do you want
as a hockey fan, I don't want to lose.
If the Chicago Blackhawks lost the Stanley Cup and there was a play that was clearly offsides and you had your timeout and you had your ability to challenge that play, but you weren't allowed to because oh well, human error. Oh well, no big deal. That would not sit well with you.
No,
that would not sit well with you.
It wouldn't sit well with me. You're absolutely right. It also wouldn't sit well with me if a play like that happened in the last minute of a game and we'd already used our timeout and now we couldn't even use the coach's challenge because we already burned it.
But
it's not a perfect science.
But it was your decision earlier in the game to burn the coach's challenge.
Right, but
that's why you only get one.
But if every replay still shows that it was a wrong call, then you should have multiple coaches' challenges.
If you could get burned like that, I absolutely agree. If you win a coach's challenge, you should be able to challenge the rest of the game. So if you win one coach's challenge and there's something that's absolutely egregious after that, and you won your previous challenge, you should absolutely be allowed to challenge. You should be able to do one a period or whatever the case may be. That's not my argument. My argument is if you are allowing offsides to be exempt from being challenged, you are going to have teams that lose games on plays that are illegal based on the NHL rulebook. And I don't think that that's going to sit well with people when they lose a championship because something was clearly missed, but the explanation is, human error happens.
No, I agree with you.
It's ridiculous.
I agree with you. And that's what I don't like the whole thing about it.
So take out the rule. Take out offsides.
I would love that. I said that already.
But I
don't see that happening. The other thing that is really frustrating about it, and I know that you're going to go back and you're going to say, well, if you got to get it right and you do that, when you see an offsides play, and the announcers and everybody's like, boy, that looked like it was pretty close to offsides, and then they're skating around for 5 minutes in the thing. Then they get a goal in their zone. And then they go back, and then they challenge that thing. Then they have to go back. They look at that particular play, and then they have to rewind that whole last 5 minutes didn't even happen, and you have to reset the clock, which is the way it should be.
Sure,
but at the same time, it's frustrating as hell it's going on.
It is, but at the end of the day, you still have the ability to challenge something, and that was missing from the game for years and years and years. And there was a scenario with the Los Angeles Kings where a puck came off the netting, fell, hit Jonathan Quick in the back, and then went in, and that wasn't reviewable. They couldn't review that. They lost that game, and they missed the playoffs by 2 points. So if you think that those things don't happen, they do. You need to take some bad with the imminent good. And the good with review is that more often than not, the NHL gets it right. The incident in Chicago with Minnesota was egregious, and it was absolutely wrong. And the explanation was really suspect. But again, that's one instance. That's one instance. Every other offside coach's challenge that has been legitimate and good. Every other one.
Well,
so
for the
get it right.
I mean, there might have been another one that I didn't see or something. But okay, I agree with you. For the most part, it has worked. But even some of them, a lot of them are still like, we're still not sure. It's like when you see the guy skates up, do you think it should be the skate on the ice? I mean, if you have a skate on but you're not over the blue line, is that offside? Should that be offsides? If you're straddling the line, but your back foot's up in the air, you're technically offsides.
Well, yeah, you are, because you're not behind the blue line. If you've got 1 foot over, 1 foot behind, but you pick up that foot that's behind, you're inside the zone.
Well, there's talk about changing that. Should they?
Well, then just get rid of offsides. If it's that big of a deal, get rid of it.
But assume we're going by the assumption here that they're not just going to get rid of it. Should they alter the rule and say that if you're not your entire body over the line, then you're not over the line? It's not just what's necessarily on the ice. Because you know, as a hockey player, when you're making strides and there's a good amount of time where one of your feet are off the ice.
Yeah, but I mean, the players are aware of that when they're trying to stay onside. They're aware of dragging the foot or cutting through the zone or, you know, it's such a gray area because the game is so fast. It's impossible. It's impossible to get it right all the time. But if you are going to have plays reviewable to make sure that no NHL rules were broken, you cannot just throw out a rule that's in place.
But you
just can't do it.
You can't amend it and change it.
I mean,
you can say that
you can amend it to fit whatever agenda you want it to fit but you're still gonna, like, if you change it to, okay, well, if the guy picks up his trailing foot, but he's only got and within a half a second or whatever, like, I don't know how you amend that to make it cut and dry, black and white. You can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
How do you make offsides black and white?
I'm fired
up.
A second.
I'm fired up.
I will tell you how.
Okay.
You have that camera right on the blue line. You look at that camera and see, is the guy's entire body over or is part of it still straddling the line? Even if it's up in the air, it's still then onside. And then you won't have some of these bang-bang plays in that, and you'll get some more goals if they want to increase the scoring of it a little bit without taking off the offsides. Again, we're both in agreement.
No.
I have no problem with them taking off the offsides. But the thing of where you have something where a guy's skate blade is a millimeter off the ice.
Half the time.
And the puck is just going over, and then it's like, they're like, no, wait, that is offsides, and now we're going to take everything back.
But half the time on those reviews, on those pictures, on those cameras, you can't clearly determine if a guy's skate is up or down. That's what leads to the confusion. You cannot legitimately tell with 100% certainty whether or not that back foot is off the ice or on the ice.
And that's what I'm saying. If he's got to be completely over the line, then it doesn't matter if it's in the air or not.
Then the issue's
solved.
But as soon as you pick your foot up, you are in the zone. You are completely 100% in the zone. There is no part of your body, even if your leg is trailing, even if your leg is up, you are on one blade, and you are in the zone.
But part of you still is not.
That's not offsides. Why, if you're going to try to change the rule this much, get rid of it. Just take it out.
Why are you arguing with me about this? We're on the same page here.
But
if they want to amend it, that would be a way to amend it where you don't have to worry about, is the skate on the ice or not on the ice?
I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because you want it taken out, which I do too. But if you're going to keep the stupid rule then make it so that the entire body is off. If the problem is that you can't tell if the blade is on or not on the blue line or on the ice.
Well, what about sticks then? What if your stick is behind the blue line? Does that count as your entire body?
We're going by feet.
That's not your whole body.
Well, then fine. If you want to throw in sticks, I mean, if you want, then you can just drag your stick behind and then you can really get a big advantage.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what players would end up doing.
But I had a definitive rule, but now you're trying to alter that
I'm not altering it. I'm saying that there will be players that will look at that rule and say, oh, okay, well, as long as a part of my body is still
Technically, you could just leave your arm out there and say my hand is offside.
Well, you don't think that that's going to lead to issues?
Well, it probably will. But fine, then you know what? Then fine, then yeah, then let's throw in the hand and the skate and the stick and everything else, and then give guys the advantage out there.
My point is, you would just have so many amendments to the rule that it would just be so ridiculous. Why even have the rule?
It's probably ridiculous that we spent this time talking about it.
I mean, offsides is very important.
All right. It's the Rink Rats show. Yeah, but it's they're probably not even going to change anything. But
probably not.
So I mean,
actually, they'll complain about it. That's all they end up doing.
At this point, I'm sorry that I brought it up.
You should be.
I really, truly am.
Yeah.
Because... there are amendments to make it, but whatever. All right, let's talk about something that maybe we can semi-agree on.
We'll see.
The bye week, neither one of us liked.
I'm not a fan.
They're going to keep it.
Okay.
But now the new amendment is, and it looks like this is one thing that will be passing.
Mm-hmm.
The bye week will now become, instead of having 8 different time periods where these teams say 4 teams take their bye weeks, and then these 4 and now 5... They're going to split it up to 2 bye weeks for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
15 teams take off this week. 16 teams take off the next. I would like them to amend that even more by saying, and when these teams come back, they will play a team also coming off the bye week, so we don't have this thing about playing somebody that's been healthy the week going into whatever. We'll see if that happens or not.
Sure.
Not a big sticking point, but whatever. But I do like it if they're going to do it. Instead of having the whole season just crazy all over the place of, oh, wait, now this team's got a bye. Oh, wait, now they're not on a bye. Now they got 5 games at hand. Now they caught up 3 of them. Now they're, because you don't even know when the hell teams are or aren't playing. If you're going to have the bye week, and I wish they wouldn't have it at all,
but if
you're going to do it, then yeah, then do it that way. Just get them out of the way, bang, bang. It's more symmetrical to every team. Somebody can't go, well, we had our bye week, the first one, and so we're more worn out at the end of the season because we didn't have one later on. Because you know people cry and moan and complain about everything today. But if they're going to keep on doing it, I would rather have them do it like this in mass exodus. Do it, get it over with, get on with the season.
Yeah, I agree with that. It never ceases to amaze me how professional athletes just – have a predisposition to complain about everything. I don't get that. I mean, I don't play a professional sport for a living, so maybe I don't understand their life, but I don't really understand the penchant for complaining about the fact that they play a game for a living. But that notwithstanding, I like the idea of doing the bye week one week and then the following week and being done with it. And I do agree with you. I think that if you're coming off of your bye week, you should be playing another team that is also coming off of their bye week. That way the rust factor is about the same and it's not so egregious in the opposite direction. I don't think that that's going to happen. Obviously, it's not going to be able to happen for every team because there is an odd number of teams now with the Vegas Golden Knights. So
All
that being said, I think it's a step in the right direction. I still think the bye week is stupid in a macro level because – stop the back-to-back games. Like, just stop doing that. You know, if you got to start the season a week earlier and you just got to figure out a way to schedule better, which is really what it comes down to. And I understand that there are certain things that are over the NHL's heads when it comes to arenas and availability and other things that are going on. But at the end of the day, we wouldn't even need a bye week if the NHL and the schedule makers learned how to do a better job of not scheduling back-to-back games.
Rink Rat Show, NBC Sports 920, The Game, Ballpark Frank, Ryan the Hockey Guy, and of course you can check out all the podcasts along with Ryan's interview that he did earlier this week at lvsportsnetwork.com. We still got a lot to get to here where we have on assistant GM Kelly McCrimmon with us here on the Rink Rat Show. We're also going to look at my recent rookie of the year in Chicago, Artemi Panarin, might be in a little bit
this.
Of trouble
I'm
for some stuff that
this.
He said. But we do have some other things to get to. But before we take a quick break here, I want to ask you this. All right, we've gone over some rule changes that some people are talking about could or could not take place. We don't even know exactly what they're going to be talking about for sure.
Sure.
These are just proposed things or things that some people are looking at. I know I saw one person who said that he just thinks that they need to just quit with the icing on penalties altogether and bring them back in the zone. We talked about that last week. That's one rule that some people think. I think that's absolutely insane. Yeah, it would increase scoring, but you're killing the penalty killers. I don't see how that's fair at all. Another thing that he did propose was he said, why is it that if you pull the goalie and then you ice the puck down, then you can put the goalie back in? And I know you've actually talked about that as well. He thinks that, like you had mentioned, if you can't make a line change in that situation, should you be able to reinsert the goalie?
No.
That's something that some people are thinking about. If there was one rule change that you could implement in the NHL, what would it be?
Take out offsides.
Okay. So take offsides it is.
I mean, take out offsides or, you know, bring the goalie pads down a bit. I mean, and by a bit, I mean bring the goalie pads back down to, like, you know,
even bring
levels.
Them down more than what they're already starting to complain about right now.
They've only addressed the pants right now, and they need to address the pads. The pads are insane. You know, here's a little bit of homework for hockey fans. When you're watching a game tonight, try to find the goalie's pants. You can't. When they're standing up and they're in their crouch, you will not see their pants. Their leg pads go all the way up into their hip crease. That's insane. It's too much. Those would be the two things that I believe would actually affect scoring, that would actually change something when it comes to the game, and would actually make it a better product on the ice.
Welcome back. It is the Rink Rat Show, NBC Sports 920 The Game, Ballpark Frank, Ryan the Hockey Guy. About 10 minutes away from the assistant GM of the Vegas Golden Knights joining us. I know we are looking forward to that, and certainly looking forward to the Vegas Golden Knights coming to town. All right, we started off with a feel-good story to try to calm me down.
And then we just started arguing after that.
I'm probably going to get ticked off again.
This has not been a very good hour for you. You're mad all the time.
And my allergies are just...
Well, you sound like a rock star.
Yeah, no, I sound like crap.
Oh, come on.
But that's all right, because I feel that way too. So, anyway.
At least you're not wearing a Blackhawk shirt today.
No, I'm wearing my bear shirt for all the stupid stuff that they do. The Blackhawks, who are my pride and joy in Chicago right now these days.
Not a Cubs fan.
No. I mean, I could say I jump on the bandwagon, but no, I've never have been. So I root for the Cubs because my best friend and my brother are Cubs fans. I am not one.
All right.
Well. But I can't stand the White Sox. I would root for the Cubs over the White Sox 100 out of 100 times.
So let's get to Artemi Panarin.
Artemi Panarin. Rookie of the year last year.
Yeah, the 45-year-old rookie of the year.
Yeah, he wasn't 45. He played in the KHL.
A professional league.
Wasn't the NHL. Ichiro Suzuki was Major League Baseball's rookie of the year after winning 7 batting titles. I'm going to turn off your mic in a second, okay, because you're really getting under my skin here. I give blood to get under my skin, okay?
It's my job.
You're not a needle. Let's get on with it here.
Poke the bear.
All right. This is poking me enough. Artemi Panarin, back when he played in the KHL, back in 2012.
Sure. Yeah. What was he, like 22 then?
He probably was about 20. In an interview with a Russian television station, him and two other players, why this has surfaced now, I'm not sure.
Because he was a 25-year-old rookie of the year.
But it has. NHL. In the interview, and again, maybe it's that people just didn't know what the hell he said before because nobody bothered translating it. Because it's in Russian.
Yeah, maybe.
But now some Russian people have translated what he said, and some people are upset about it. During the interview, apparently they were having fun and just kind of joking around. They said that all three players were joking with the host of the show and having a good time. And the question was posed to the three gentlemen, what is the one thing in your life you would not do? One thing in your life that you just would not do, the thing that you would never do.
What would you never do, Frank?
Oh, there's so many things that I would never do.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not take advantage of somebody in some kind of Ponzi scam or something. I wouldn't punch an old lady walking down the street. I wouldn't kick a puppy dog. I mean, there's lots of things I wouldn't do.
Right.
Things that are kind of no-brainer things. But it was the question that if you just picked out one and you were on the spot, I don't know what my answer to that would be. I don't think it would be something that would get me in trouble, but then again, it might, especially if I'm in a giddy situation and I'm having fun with some other people.
Right.
I know my answer would not be the same as Artemi Panarin's was.
Sure.
Artemi Panarin's answer to the question, what is the one thing you would not do? Said reportedly, according to the numerous translators that have seen the YouTube video and the clip, I would not have sex with a black woman. Now, maybe, and again, this happened back in 2012. He was in the KHL. He was living in Russia. Maybe in Russia, that's not even that big of a controversial statement. I don't know. I cannot say for sure because I do not live in Russia. I don't know what the black population is in Russia. I'm guessing it's not real high. But obviously it didn't affect his career or anything came of it too much over there. In fact, I certainly never heard anything of this until today when I saw this story, which just came out of nowhere. Apparently not out of nowhere. It came out of 2012 from a TV interview.
Yeah.
But now Artemi Panarin lives in Chicago.
Right.
The racial mix-up of that city is quite different than it is in Russia, I'm sure.
I would imagine so,
and now
yes.
He is backtracking, saying, look, back in 2012, I did a television interview. I said some stupid stuff. I apologized for it. I didn't mean anything. We were basically just clowning around and having fun, and I said some insensitive, stupid comments, which I regret, and I am apologizing for. So here's the question. A, how bad is it? B, does the fact that it happened 5 years ago, does that have anything to do with it? He was a younger guy, was clowning around, he was this side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Or is there something that could or should be done with it? I don't see how they can fine him or penalize him or do anything to him for it. But I could certainly see where the Blackhawks or somebody would say, look, Artemi, we need you to be a little proactive here. We need to get you to do some community service or do something to, you know, change things around a little bit, whether it's foster a fatherless child, do something with the inner city community. I don't know exactly what it is. Help out at some homeless shelters or something. I don't know what it is, but it seems like they're probably going to have to do something to show some kind of contrition other than just doing the cursory, yeah, sorry, didn't mean it.
Wow. I mean, I don't know where to begin with this, to be honest. Now, in no way, shape, or form were his comments appropriate in any way.
No matter where you're at.
Where you're playing, where you're living, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, probably not even necessarily appropriate if you're sitting with two of your buddies at a bar talking, but that kind of stuff does happen. But certainly not in a televised interview.
No, certainly not. Now, what can come of it today? I don't know that there's anything, to be completely honest with you, because it didn't happen while he was playing for the NHL. It didn't happen in the United States. It didn't happen, you know, yesterday. It happened 5 years ago. So not that there's statutes of limitation or anything like that. I don't think that there's anything that the NHL can do as far as fine or suspension or anything like that. Maybe the Blackhawks do something. But then again, this is also a team that's stuck by Patrick Kane. Now, I know that Patrick Kane was absolved of any wrongdoing in his last off-ice transgression. However, we are talking about a guy that beat up a cab driver, and that's not refutable. It is something that happened.
And that was with him and his cousin.
I mean, really, at the end of the day, the track record with some of the Blackhawk players off the ice has not been very good. It makes a little bit more sense today why Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin have such great chemistry.
Now you're just trying to show your haterade there. You're trying to show your haterade.
But
let's stay honest with the question.
I am. I'm staying honest to the question.
You just called them pieces of garbage.
They are kind of pieces of garbage. They are not very good people. And it's funny that we started this show with all this talk about how great hockey players are, about how good they do for how much good they do for the community, and oh my gosh, you're going to love it when they come to Vegas. Well, then we go here with Artemi Panarin. Look, he was stupid. He shouldn't have said what he said. I don't think there's anything that the NHL and the Chicago Blackhawks can really do to make this something that they punish him for. But at the end of the day, you know, this is the type of player, this is the type of character that Artemi Panarin has. And that's a problem. That is a problem for the NHL. We need to get away from this kind of stuff, and we need to get back to what NHL players do. And that's play the best game in the world on the ice and not be ridiculous and not say stupid things and understand where they are.
All right. Well, we have a gentleman joining us now who's not going to be saying stupid things.
No,
and
he's
not.
He
is one of the reasons why Las Vegas is so excited and happy to have hockey. The assistant general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon, joins us now. Kelly, thank you very much for joining us and making some time for us today. How you doing?
Doing real good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good. Now, you know, one thing, when we started off the show today, we were talking about the incident up in Calgary with 11-year-old Olivia Ledich, who's partially blind, legally blind, and they took her down on the ice. They found that thing from eSight, let her experience a game. And what we preface that by is saying that as much as everybody's excited about professional sports being here at the major league level and the Golden Knights coming to town, one thing that Ryan and I have both been tooting the horn of the NHL for years and years is I don't even think this community has an idea yet of how many other great things are coming their way with the Golden Knights because of the way that the hockey and the NHL does truly encompass the entire community with their teams.
Yeah, you make a great example with the situation in Calgary, which was real special for the people involved there. I think one thing that fans can expect, oftentimes you'll talk to reporters who have dealt with players from all four of the major sports, and I think hockey players are kind of unique in their own way, and I think you're going to see our organization really connect with the community, and that's probably reflective of hockey players as a whole.
You know, now that we have a hockey player, now that we have a guy under contract for the Vegas Golden Knights in Reed Duke, how long did you have your sights set on him as a player potentially for this Vegas Golden Knights team?
Well, it's interesting with Reed because, of course, he played for me in Brandon. And last year when he wasn't signed by the team that had drafted him, I had no hesitation telling any team that would listen that I thought he should be signed. I thought he was going to be an NHL player. So it's funny how things unfold. I end up with the opportunity in Las Vegas. Reed ends up going to Rangers camp in the fall and then returned to junior as a free agent. And, you know, what's kind of neat is it was really Will Nickel and our amateur staff that first identified Reed, and of course I had lots of history with him. So when they brought his name to me, I had no hesitation to endorse him, and they watched him over the course of the year. He's had a real good final season in junior. I know that George McPhee was in about 3 weeks ago, watched him as well. So it was, we were real happy to be able to sign Reed and have him be the first transaction in our history.
Now, for some of the people that I've talked to that are hockey fans, one of the questions that does come up is, how good is Reed? How good is the league he played? And I know we are certainly the home of the Las Vegas 51s, a Triple-A baseball team. How would you equate the WHL as far as that goes? If you're going to put it in like minor league baseball, is it a Triple-A league? Is it a Double-A, a Single-A? Or is it even fair to try to do that in hockey like they do in other sports?
Well, major junior hockey in Canada is a great development ground for NHL players. The Canadian Hockey League, which is comprised of three leagues, the Western Hockey League, which is where Reed plays, the Ontario Hockey League, and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League are the three leagues that make up the Canadian Hockey League. And, each year at the NHL draft, they would, generally have 100-plus players that would be selected in the entry draft. In any given year, you can go through NHL rosters of any team and find lots of star players that have come through the league. So in terms of a measuring stick or proving ground for good young players, it likely for your listeners would be more equivalent to what Division I college football means to the NFL draft. And that's likely more where we'd fit with the highest level of amateur hockey underneath the NHL.
Now, as somebody that did coach Reed last season and the season prior, what are some of the intangibles he possesses that will help him take the next step to the NHL?
I think really committed, hardworking, determined, really wants to be a pro player. I think he's going to do everything he can to hold up his end of the bargain to give himself to be the best, the chance to be the best player that he can be. So that's a big part of how guys get better, is that inner will and commitment to improvement. So I expect that we'll see that from Reed. We'll continue to see that from Reed. I've seen it as long as I've had him. And then I think, he's a good teammate. He's well-liked. He's personable. He's intelligent. So he's a guy that's, easy to fit into a team environment and be a good guy to play with. And then obviously, in terms of the skill set, he's got a lot of talent. He's got good size. He's strong. He's a good body checker. And, I think has all the tools to play. And that's, any guy that signs his first NHL contract, there's a process that you need to go through before you're NHL ready. And where our comfort is, as I touched on earlier, we expect that Reed's going to do everything he can to make the steps he needs to make.
When it comes to Reed Duke coming out here, being the first official Golden Knight hockey player, is that added pressure on him, or is it really not that much added pressure? Because let's be honest about it. He's coming in here, but you're getting an already established NHL player from every other team in the league. So although he might be the first one, there's going to be other guys with more experience than him coming onto this roster.
Yeah, it's no more than what it is. He's the first free agent that we've signed, our first amateur player that we're bringing into the organization. It doesn't put him in a more favorable situation or a less favorable situation. It gives him the notoriety of the attention that comes with being our first player, and he'll be the answer to trivia questions for years to come. But when we get to training camp, he's going to, be considered a good young prospect. And as you say, we're going to have, potentially 30 NHL players that are going to be part of our organization by training camp as well. So it I think, will probably pass. And by the time we get to, development camp in July, training camp in September, I don't think that probably anyone will be thinking much about it.
So, you mentioned all those other players. With the NHL trade deadline now finished, do you have a clearer idea when you go in to do mock drafts of what you're looking for and what you're trying to find from each and every team now in the league?
Well, it gets clearer each time we meet. I think our level of preparation for the whole process leading up to the expansion draft, I think, has been very good. Each mock draft, our staff, gets to the end result a little quicker. I think we've narrowed the field on some teams in terms of what we expect their core players are, who they will protect. And I think as well, we've tightened the group of players that are our players of interest for the those that might be selected by our team. The NHL trade deadline was one of the stepping stones along the way where we expected there'd be some activity. There was. So all of those transactions potentially affect, our draft list from each of the 30 teams. But I think that the biggest change to the draft list is still to come when the regular season and the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. There's going to be a period of time leading up to the expansion draft where, we anticipate there's going to be quite a bit of movement. And we know at that time the movement is going to be designed around expansion. Some of the trades that would have been made at the trade deadline, I would argue probably most of the trades that were made at the trade deadline were, completely made for hockey reasons. The team trying to get in the playoffs, the team trying to position themselves to take a deep run into the playoffs, that type of thing was the motives for the moves that have happened. When we get to the end of the season, it's going to be all about expansion.
We just got a couple minutes left here, and we do appreciate the time. We're talking to assistant GM of the Golden Knights, Kelly McCrimmon. When it comes to building a team, it seems like the general consensus is you have to build from the goalie out. Is there a more important position in all of sports than the goalie in the professional hockey league? I know some people say a pitcher in baseball, but they can only go once every 4 or 5 days. The quarterback in football is important, but you have a lot of people on offense and defense. I don't think there's a more important position in all of sports than a goalie.
Well, there's a real case to be made that what you're saying is exactly the case, and it's interesting how sometimes a person looks at it. If your goaltending isn't as good as it needs to be, it really puts a lot of pressure on a team, and I think you can really go around the league and look at teams that might have struggled, and oftentimes, the biggest thing that that wasn't where they needed it to be would have been the quality of the goaltending. So, to have a chance, it's a hard league to win in, obviously, but to have a chance, you've got to have top-flight goaltending. And in our case, with an expansion team and, a bunch of players working under a new coach, learning a new system, our goaltenders will be called upon, I'm sure. Then they're going to have a real large role on our team.
Speaking of coaching, have you guys gotten any closer to narrowing down the field as far as the coach goes, and when might we expect a decision on that?
Well, we've got time on our side, and there's lots of candidates. There's people that that we've talked about. We're watching how the NHL regular season ends, how the playoffs go, who are the guys that might be available, and as much as it's likely the most commonly asked question by hockey people and by our fans, there still isn't the urgency that that we have to do something right away. We want to as I said earlier, we want to use time to our advantage and give ourselves the chance of having the biggest pool available and the best chance of selecting the right guy, the right person to lead our team in our inaugural season.
Well, Kelly, we truly appreciate the time. We'd love to talk to you all day long. We'd love to get you on again sometime soon, and good luck with the upcoming draft and everything else, and we're all excited about Vegas Wanted Hockey. We have hockey with the Golden Knights.
Well, we're excited, too, and thanks very much for having me.
You got it. Kelly McCrimmon, their assistant general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights, not
Vegas
Las Vegas,
Golden Knights.
Vegas
yeah,
Golden Knights.
Not Las Vegas.
Man, I'm excited about it. We've had some disagreements on this show.
Yeah.
But in the end, we ended on a high note here. Looking forward to the draft coming up. Reed Duke, what's going to happen with him? Look forward to getting more people on from the Golden Knights as well.
I want to get Kelly back on just to talk hockey with him.
Yeah, I'd love to get Kelly back on. Get them all on. Let's get Reed Duke sometime, too. We're Ryan the Hockey Guy. I'm Ballpark Frank. It is the Rink Rat Show. You can check it out, lvsportsnetwork.com, all the podcasts, and, of course, live every Thursday, 2 to 3, right here, NBC Sports 920 The Game. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Thursday. We're out.